Swinging a high drive into center field. Hits at the wall. It is gone! Cassis does it again.
Again.
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
And he swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, Frank Lee, it's over!
The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
Welcome back to Play Testing. It is episode 127. If you're listening on drop day, it is September 10th. This is the official podcast of wishing Wade Boggs the very, very, very best in his fight against cancer. He announced on his social media over the weekend that he is battling prostate cancer, and we love Wade Boggs on this podcast. Sammy, I know you had an awesome experience with Wade Boggs at Winter Weekend a year and a half ago, and we want to wish him the very, very best in his fight. No one is better equipped to take on this battle than Wade Boggs. So absolute best wishes to Wade Boggs in that fight. This is also known as the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Before we get going, remember, hit the subscribe button wherever you're listening, wherever you get your podcast. Subscribe, rate us 5 stars, all that jazz. We know you guys can do it. And you know that it helps us out so much when you guys do it. So as always, on YouTube as well, on the WEI page, we've got a Play Tessie playlist in there, so you can find us. You can hit the thumbs up on the videos. We really appreciate when you guys do that as well. And as always, on the socials, at Play Tessie on both Twitter and Instagram. I am here with Sammy again, and I'm here with Joe again, who is in for Pat. And we teased a little bit at the end of last episode that dropped yesterday. So if you made it to the end of that one, you know that we were itching to talk a little bit about Bobby Dalbec, who, man, after years of wondering if and when this would happen, he finally got DFA'd by the Red Sox. Bobby Dalbec, a legitimately good dude, but this is a guy who his time with the Red Sox, like, the finish line had been apparent at the end of 2022, and we're at the end of 2024, and he remained kicking in the organization for reasons that definitely did not benefit him, because we see guys leave teams and join new teams and find things, but it's been multiple years now since he was good. And he's just been in the Red Sox organization, kind of just stewing in AAA, not learning anything new, not getting any sort of hints at whatever the code is to being a successful major league hitter. Obviously he's got some pop, obviously he's got versatility, but just never figured out how to put it together fully at the major league level. But now has finally been DFA'd by the Red Sox. The way that process is going to work is we'll see if he gets claimed, and if he doesn't get claimed, he could get outrighted to AAA. But regardless of that, if he does get outrighted to AAA and ends up finishing the season with the Woo Sox, he would be a minor league free agent at the end of the season. And let's be real here. Like, this guy needs to be anywhere but Boston, not because we don't like him or whatever, but because he needs something different. He needs a change of scenery. He needs different philosophy, different coaching, just different anything, because he's got the talent there. I don't know if it's been too long at this point, but just any sort of change of scenery has to be beneficial for Bobby Dalbec. It's interesting because I feel like we haven't talked about him in forever because he hasn't really been up in forever. But fellas, Bobby Dalbec, DFA'd by the Red Sox. I feel like it's surprising that it's coming now, but it's come. It's here. He's DFA'd.
Oh, man. Where do I even begin with Bobby Dalbec? Well, first of all, I assume we're going to say quite a few unsavory things about his baseball abilities. So before we get to that, I want to put it out there that I have never, ever heard a bad thing about Bobby Dalbec as a person. By all accounts, he seems like a great guy. And the players we've spoken to, the people around the team, seems like everyone likes Bobby Dalbec. That said, one of the worst Red Sox players in recent memory. Like, he got basically a 2.5 year long leash because he had a few good months in 2021. And one of the craziest parts about that is, on top of, like, you know, obviously playing like crap for 2022, 2023, and then 2024, is that even when he was playing well, Tristan Casas was in AA and AAA dominating. Who in Casas, everybody in baseball agreed, was a much better first base prospect than Bobby Dalbec. So before we talk about his tenure, the fact that Heim Bloom at the time didn't sell high on Dalbec, who had glaring issues and also a better first baseman right behind him, I still can't wrap my head around that. And this is not Monday morning quarterbacking. I was saying it at the time. I can dig up the old tweets. I could not believe they didn't take advantage of that. Like they probably could have gotten a pretty decent return for him at the time. Like he was a 24, 25-year-old first baseman who could also play third base, 20-plus home runs, good clubhouse guys, got a rocket of an arm if you put him at third. Like there's things to like. Not a slow runner, but not a fast runner. Like there were things to like at the time. So he probably shouldn't have been on the Red Sox beyond 2021 in the first place. But then you go back and you remember 2022. Like, remember when him and Franchi were alternating at first base? I remember Dalbec missed the bag on, like, a grounder, and he was fielding the throw at first, and he missed the bag, like, putting his foot on it in Major League Baseball. Like, I don't want to rip the guy to shreds, but that was, I can't think of many Red Sox players that were more painful to watch than Bobby Dalbec. And I haven't even mentioned the strikeouts, so I'm sure we'll get to it.
Sammy, you bring up a good point, because I think we should go back to the hindsight of post-2021. Because obviously 2020, he was awesome in his very brief stint during the COVID year, which obviously seemed like a lot longer because it was a higher percentage of that year than it would have been of any other season. But then he had that incredible run in August of 2021 where he had, I believe, the fourth highest OPS in baseball behind just Bryce Harper, Juan Soto, and Yasmani Grandal. And then it was literally Bobby Dalbec. So that was a thing that happened.
Yeah, for the half, right? You mean?
Maybe it was for the half.
It was just for the half of 2021. But yes, point remains. Better. He was on fire. Yeah.
Even better. That was a thing that happened. But you got to remember one thing that happened at the end of that season. Look to the postseason. Who was not deemed worthy of getting at bats in the 2021 postseason? It was Bobby Dalbec. He sat on the bench for that postseason. They did not trust him. He cooled off by the end and they didn't trust him. And Sam, you mentioned Tristan Casas. Before 2022, I believe their thinking was he was going to be ready to come up sometime shortly after the All-Star break. Obviously, he had an injury that delayed that, but with Tristan Casas seeming to be the first baseman of the future and Bobby Dalbec showing inconsistencies to the point where he wasn't used in the postseason. I agree with you, man. It would have been a great time to sell high. And it almost felt like a no-brainer. So I don't think this is Monday morning quarterbacking at all. We were all saying it back then, man. It was tough that they didn't do it. And it just showed next year as he struggled in 2022. And then obviously Tristan Casas comes up, and it becomes clear that he's your first baseman of the future. 2023 comes around, and Bob is mostly down in the minors, occasionally coming up, but it was clear he had no spot on this team. And obviously this year you've barely seen him at all in the majors. And sure, like maybe he would have found his stroke at some point and you could have sold high, but to be honest with you, I don't know what kind of – like I just don't visualize a world where he could have done something in the minors to make you – to increase his value beyond what it was after 2021, even with
the 40 plus homers helped him out with
But it didn't, because the swing and miss was so apparent. Like his swing and miss, his whiff rate was at the top of the minors. Yeah, Major League front offices bought in to the 30, 40, whatever homers he had, because the swing and miss shows you that it's not going to translate to the majors. There's a reason
like that guy, that Yankees. Up. It's like that Yankees prospect, Spencer Jones. All the Yankee fans are going nuts about this guy. He's striking out like 41% in AA. And I know Dalbec was in AAA, but he was striking out 35% of the time, which, by the way, that was in 2023. The highest strikeout rate in Major League Baseball was exactly the same as that. Jack Sawinski last year, 35%. So Dalbec had it was tied for the highest strikeout percentage as the Major League leader, but he was doing it in AAA. So when people talk about, oh, he's hitting this many home runs, it's not going to translate. We've seen it. The Red Sox know this. Other teams know this. That's why 2021, right after that season, was the perfect time to sell high on him. And that's not to say that the Red Sox should have known that he wasn't going to be anywhere near that second half of 2021 in the following years. But you have to have the foresight to say, look, we have a better prospect who plays the same exact position. Not a soul in the world thinks that Bobby Dalbec is a better player than Tristan Casas. So it's just so frustrating. You wonder like what they could have gotten for a guy like that.
No, but the risk reward, man, it's like the value could have gotten a little bit higher than it was after 2021. But obviously what you saw happen is it sunk. So the risk reward was not like they should have sold. They just should have. But getting past that, getting past the hindsight, and like obviously it's not hindsight because we were saying it, but like getting past what they could have done in the past. The other thing is Bobby Dalbec was sitting in AAA. I mean, there was that photo of Chaim Bloom talking to him in the middle of last season, essentially. And Bobby said, like, he was basically telling him, like, we're trying to find you an opportunity, but it, like, hasn't happened. But, like, just be ready because we're going to find you an opportunity. Whatever. Never happened. They never did find a trade partner for him. And obviously, after a while, they needed 40 spots to add pitchers to the roster who are eventually going to need to be added in the offseason. For those of you who may not have like a super great understanding of how options work, this was the last year Bobby Dalbec was eligible to be optioned. So unless he was going to be on the major league roster next year, he was going to be DFA'd at some point before opening day. So the Red Sox, understanding that that probably was not going to happen, made the smart move to DFA him now to get a guy like Richard Fitz on the roster that was going to be Rule 5 eligible, that deserved an opportunity to pitch this season, to show what he can do, to at least show the organization what they have. The question is, why did they not do it sooner? Obviously, like, you can make the argument for why did they not do it a couple of weeks ago to get a guy like Luis Guerrero on the 40-man roster. Obviously, he came up this past weekend and got two outs, the only two outs, the only opportunity he got to get outs, he got the outs. But could he have come up sooner? Could someone else have come up sooner? Like, who knows? But the question I have, and Joe, I'll kick this one to you. Did the Red Sox do Bob dirty by not finding him a trade partner? I'll be nice and say this past offseason, but to be honest with you, you could make the argument that they did him dirty by not trading him the offseason before, because Casas came up at the end of 2022. It was clear he was going to be your first baseman of the future. So with Bob not having a clear defined role with the future of the Red Sox at the end of 2022, and to not be cut loose or traded or whatever till the end of 2024, did they do him a little bit dirty here?
I mean, I don't know. We don't know if there were any conversations that, you know, they tried to trade Bobby and that all the teams said no. I think that's the tricky part of it, is that we don't know if they actually were shopping him or if they weren't, but we're going on the assumption that he wasn't, and they just continued to hold on to him because they felt like, I'm still like stuck on this idea, like, even though there was a ton of swing and miss rates, the Sox at that time, and we're talking the time of 2022-23, where they were incredibly analytics driven, especially Chaim Bloom, that they see the power that he had in AAA Worcester and that little flair he had in 21, and they think they can maximize him, you know, even if Casas is waiting in the wings. So I'm not going to say specifically that they did him dirty, because they saw the potential. They saw the power potential, and they were hoping that with, you know, he got like LASIK surgery and he did all this stuff to try and fix it, but it just never came around. So I guess you can't say you did him dirty in 22. I think you could say that you did him dirty in this past offseason, because as you said, the writing's been on the wall for years. And the fact that you don't make a legit effort to try and move on from this guy so that there's an opportunity, you know, maybe one of the big three get promoted to AAA faster. Maybe there's a Richard Fitz call up sooner rather than later. Maybe Luis Guerrero, as you guys are saying. I think you do him dirty by not trading him this past offseason. I won't say after 22. I would say after this past offseason, going into 2024, holding on to him was a big mistake.
Joe, I think you're exactly right. I want to echo that. And Sammy, I want to get your take too. But I want to say, you're right, Joe. We don't know what conversations they had. I think we know that they had conversations because Heim last year told Bobby that they were trying to find something. We don't really know too many details on that, but I'm sure they talked. But I'm also sure that the Red Sox wanted to get something legitimate for a guy who showed in 2021 and 2022 that there was something good in there. Obviously, the reason I ask about if they did him dirty is now it's been, I mean, he was last good in what, August of 2021. So now 22 has gone by, 23 has gone by, and now we're in September of 2024. It has been 3 years since he has been good. Let's just talk about this past deadline. Would there have been a taker if you had traded him for a player to be named later or cash? So let's say cash. Is there someone who would have given you a very small marginal amount of money to acquire a guy who has a half season left of an option year where you can have him in AAA and try to work with the guy? And if it doesn't work, then you cut him loose. And like you see guys get traded for cash and get cut loose shortly after all the time. Even if it's like literally less than a week later, you see guys get cut loose. I have a hard time believing that there wouldn't have been a taker for that. So I feel for Bob for that reason. Again, the Red Sox have to do what is right for them as an organization. They have to worry about the organization first over what's right for an individual player. So if the right deal didn't come along and they thought he was worth more than whatever they were seeing come in for offers, like, yeah, then by all means, you got to do what's right for the organization. But I feel for Bob because something tells me that if he had gone to a different place after 2021 or 2022, he would have had a shot to resurrect his career. But at this point, it's been 3 years. How many times do you see a guy take a 3-year dip and then bounce back? So I feel for the guy. I don't know. It's like, I don't blame the Red Sox for doing what they thought was right, but I feel for Bob because it literally could cost him a successful major league career, is the Red Sox doing what they did with him. But Sammy, I want to hear your thoughts, man. Like, did they do him dirty?
I mean, I feel for Bob in that I'm sure he didn't want to strike out 35% of the time. I'm sure he wanted to have a role on a major league team like he did in 2021, maybe even a little bit more. But like, I cannot say the Red Sox, quote unquote, did him dirty. All they did was believe in his tools and try to hone him. There's no way you could argue they did him dirty, in my opinion. Like, this guy had a longer leash than a greyhound, like the longest leash inexplicably they had ever seen. I mean, you know, maybe not inexplicably, they didn't have great org depth coming into the season, so I guess they were like, we need Bob, he can play both corners, very cool Bob, thank you. But no, I don't think the Red Sox did him dirty. I mean, it's his play that cost him time at the major league level. He's not good. His defense was terrible up until 2023. Now it's fine. It's maybe even a little above average, but it took him 3 years to become like a decent first baseman. That's not the Red Sox fault entirely. I'm sure they were, maybe they could have instructed him differently, but I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. It's first base. It's the easiest position in baseball. I'm sorry. It is. I don't think that's debatable. First base, maybe left field if you're playing.
Sammy, at Fenway. Let me stop you for a sec. But you see guys all the time struggle with an organization. Let's use freaking Ryan Brazier as an example. Struggles with the Red Sox, goes to the Dodgers. They teach him a cutter. He turns into this great pitcher. Obviously, it's more common with pitchers than hitters. But like, could Bob have been traded to an organization that thinks they know how to crack the code in the middle of 2022? And then all of a sudden, you know, it's only been, you know, 9-10 months since he's had success. They help him work through a few things, and all of a sudden, you know, he's back to what he was and he's really good. But now it's been 3 years.
Okay.
So could Gordon, them waiting to that to then let him go elsewhere 3 years? I'm not saying they didn't give him enough opportunities. They gave him more than enough opportunities. But I'm saying waiting as long as they did to give him a chance to potentially go elsewhere.
How many teams are better at developing hitters than the Red Sox?
Fair.
Like,
it's fair. I don't, not many.
Unless all he needed was a change of scenery, then I don't think it would have gone any differently elsewhere. Also, you're playing at Fenway Park. It's like very easy to hit there. You're playing first base. Like, he had the tools he needed to succeed, and he did for a little bit. It's just the leash that it's dumbfounding to me. I don't understand it. For so long, you don't want to pick up a 4A infielder that maybe would have been a little bit more consistent than Dahlbeck for 2024. You want to stick with this guy? I don't think you can say the Red Sox did him dirty. They believed in him to a fault too much. And, you know, honestly, you guys are going to think I'm joking. Bobby's the kind of guy that I think goes and plays overseas because he has glaring, glaring issues at the major league level. Like I said, striking out more than 35% of the time. That is, you can't play like that unless you're also providing 30 plus homers, great defense, something like that. And he just wasn't. So I think he's a guy who goes and plays in a different league. Maybe he stays there. Maybe he comes back. It kind of reminds me of the guy who was on Polanco, Gregory Polanco.
I loved that guy.
Pirates. Yeah. He had similar issues, you know, not, I wouldn't say as bad, but like wasn't clicking at the major league level, had some tools, not much left to learn in AAA. Is there an in-between? Yes, there is. It's in Asia. So maybe Bobby does something like that. Maybe he goes with a new major league team and who knows, maybe he catches on. I just don't like, if you can't succeed with the Red Sox hitting staff at Fenway Park, I don't know, man, it's a tough sell for me.
No, I think that's a more than fair point. Like that he, it's not like he didn't have opportunity sprinkled in there. Like, it's not like he was just stashing the minors the entire time. He had several big league stints, a right-handed hitter at Fenway Park who can pull the ball, and that green monster is just calling his name. And yeah, the strikeout rate's going to kill you. So, I mean, I think I speak for all of us when I say I hope he has success wherever he is. You know, I don't know if he's going to get outrighted to AAA, finish the year, and then maybe sign a minor league deal elsewhere. I don't know if he's going to go overseas. I agree, Sammy, maybe would be a good candidate to try it out overseas. And we've seen more guys learning things over there and then coming back and having success than we have before, more now than ever. Obviously, most of those pitchers, but still, like, who was Eric Thames?
Eric Thames.
Let Bobby Dalbec put on like 80 pounds of muscle. He's already jacked. Let him put on 80 more pounds of muscle and come back as Eric Thames, and he can ball out for the Milwaukee Brewers or something.
It also, Japan and Korea, those two leagues, the NPB and then KBO, those are very contact-oriented leagues. They teach baseball a lot differently over there in the East, so you know, maybe that actually helps. I don't want people to think I'm joking when I say like he should go to Korea or Japan.
That's not a joke.
Like, those are the other two leagues that are close to major league quality, but better than AAA. So why not give it a try? Like I said, it's all about contact over there. We see like Yoshida, one of the best hitters in the league, over in Japan, contact. That's how he made his name. So Ichiro, you could just go on all those guys. So, you know, maybe it helps him. Maybe he struggles just the same in Japan or Korea, but I don't know. I think that might help him a little bit, get that contact up.
Yeah. So obviously we're all rooting for the best for Bobby. We'll see what comes of the rest of his season and moving forward for the rest of his career. Cause there's obviously more baseball to be played for Bobby Dalbec, and we'll see where that takes him. But before we get on out of here for this one, let's do a little bit enough said. Joe, I'll give you the first crack at this one. You got anything for us? Yeah, he's muted. Should I maybe go to Sammy? Are you not ready, Joe?
No, I'm right. I'm ready because I'm gearing myself up, and I'm here to say that the reason why we're kind of just, as Sammy said in the last episode, just kind of like numb to a Red Sox loss is because of the Patriots. The Patriots have brought us back, baby, and starting the 2024 season, 16-10 win over the Bengals. How can you not be juiced for what the Patriots did? But I do want to ask you guys your personal opinion about this, because I have my thoughts about this, and I pondered this with Fitzy and Hart on the Six Rings postgame show, EEI ding. Was this more about the Patriots winning the game or the Bengals losing this game? Because me personally, I don't think they played this way. This is not winnable football for 16 more games. And it just felt like the Bengals were more in disarray. So just which side of the coin do you guys lead? Is it the Patriots won, Bengals lost?
I think the Bengals lost it. I think the Bengals lost it. It's not to say the Patriots didn't play well. Like, they played mistake-free football. They played really great on special teams and they played good defense, but the Bengals coughed the ball up all day, and that gave the Patriots opportunities, and it took away scoring chances for the Bengals that in the end, you know, you just look no further than the fumble at the 1-yard line. If that goes in for a score, that's a completely different ball game. So, I mean, God, man, the fact that they that it was even a close game is a testament to the Patriots. The fact that they didn't make mistakes is a testament to the Patriots. Good for them for getting the win. I predicted before the game that they would have four wins this season, with, and after beating the Bengals in week one, feels pretty good that they're going to top that prediction. But
five wins.
That's impressive. It's impressive. You can't get around it. It's impressive. I'm not saying I have like a super positive outlook for the season, but I came away from today feeling way better about them than I thought I would have, because I thought before the game that a 20 plus point loss was more likely than a Patriots win.
Yeah, I mean, you have to give the Patriots credit. Mistake-free football. And by the way, for anyone listening, I'm not a football expert. I know a little bit about football, but yeah, they didn't turn the ball over. I think Duggar deserves credit for that, forcing that fumble more so than whoever it was on the Bengals who coughed it up. That was pretty snazzy, pretty sick punch out. And then also the offensive line is terrible for the Patriots. Jacoby Brissett had no time at all today. I know he didn't really get sacked. Did he get sacked at all? Maybe
I don't know if he did. No.
I don't think he did.
But for knowing the weakness, man. Like, you get the ball out fast, you're not gonna get sacked.
Yeah, holy crap, though. That's going to be an issue when you play against like teams with better defenses. But yeah, I mean, I think it's a combo of both. Lame answer from me, but you know, the Patriots mistake-free football. Bengals down T. Higgins. Jamar Chase didn't really do much. Christian Gonzalez, by the way, locked him up pretty good. So yeah, like I said, I'm no football expert, but I think it's a combination of the two.
This will lead me into my nuff said, because... Man, over the weekend, just watching football. I'm still here in the Dominican Republic in Punta Cana on my honeymoon. That's right. I'm recording podcasts on my honeymoon. Acknowledge me. Watched these games. We've got a private pool in our hotel room. And my setup today was, we have two computer screens. One was for the Patriots game. The other computer screen was for Red Zone, and I had the Red Sox on my phone sitting in the middle of both. And I'm literally just standing in the pool, arms over the ledge, just watching Pats, Red Zone, Sox. It was a sports watching heaven until the ninth inning of the Red Sox game. But even so, like, that was going down as the Patriots were winning. So like, it could only hurt you so much when you're as shocked as I was that the Patriots were actually going to pull out a win against the Bengals. But yeah, man. Like, I wish I could watch games like this every week. This is crazy.
Yeah, dude. Wait, private pool in your hotel room? That's sick.
It's like you exit the balcony doors, and it's just like a not even like that small of a pool, like right outside. You got like a little tub in the there's a little tub here in the bedroom too.
Don't pee in the pool. It's still not allowed.
That's true. Okay. Yeah, no, I don't want to. I mean, it's so like if I pee in the pool, I might as well just be peeing on my own leg. Like
pee on your own leg, Gordo 2024.
You could do that for jellyfish stings if you get stung.
Yeah, you can. Good pee talk. Anyway, enough said. Not super exciting, pretty brief. Just shout out to the city of Denver. I think that's a really, really underrated city. I spent last week there for a work trip. I do, however, notice that when I'm in Denver, so I'm not a super sweaty guy. I don't sweat more. I'm pretty normal when it comes to how much I sweat. My feet sweat like crazy when I'm at altitude. It happened last year when I was in Denver for work, and it happened again this year. I need to bring like 10 pairs of socks because the altitude makes my feet sweat, and nowhere else, just my feet. I'm like completely fine everywhere else. Weirdest thing, disgusting. But anyway, really like Denver, solid food. But really the thing I like the most was the people are super chill. It's like very friendly people, but not kind of like, when you're in California, sometimes it feels a little bit fake, but with these people, I felt like they were, you know, genuinely interested in chatting and nice people, and all the fans that came to the event that I was working. Thanks for coming. And yeah, shout out to Denver. I hope the Rockies are good eventually.
Eventually.
I will say, though, I saw almost no Rockies gear in Denver. Nothing.
What gear did you see? Like, what was the most common... like teams? Oh, is it Nuggets?
Broncos for sure, because football was starting.
I guess
it was the
Peyton jerseys, Manning jerseys,
some Manning. I saw a lot of like Elway throwbacks, and like,
I saw an Elway jersey today at the resort.
who's their quarterback now? Bo Nix,
baby.
Bo Nix. I saw a few of his jerseys, which if you're buying a Bo Nix jersey, you probably got scammed by crypto at some point. So I don't really feel that bad for you. But yeah, man, Denver, really underrated. I recommend it if you guys ever get a chance to go out there. And not a bad flight from Boston. Under 4 hours. It was 3 hours 55 on the way there and 3 hours 25 on the way back. So not a bad trip at all.
I almost went to Denver for the Red Sox-Rockies series this year. I'm very glad I didn't do it because that series absolutely stunk.
You would have been confused. Like, what happened with Reese and Cal Quantrill?
Imagine Gordo's bachelor party not in Texas, but in Coors Field.
Oh, could you imagine you go to the bachelor party and they lose 2 out of 3 to the Rockies? Oh,
that'd be brutal. Also, Gordo, congrats on getting married. We've barely been able to talk because you've been on your honeymoon and I've been on a work trip. So congrats on that. Marissa said she definitely said yes.
She did say yes. She did. It happened. There are witnesses.
That'd be really weird if you just went on your honeymoon solo. So I'm glad that she
let
said
it be
yes.
said. Let it be done.
Is that she said?
That's what she said in lieu of I do.
It was, let it be said. Let
no,
it be
you
done.
Said I let do. It be said. She said let it be done.
Exactly. Oh. That's how all wedding ceremonies should go from now on.
Dude, don't. How come you held your wedding when I was away? Did you do that on purpose?
Yeah, no, it was beneficial because we just didn't want you and your sweaty feet there just because they were going to stink up the joint. So
I didn't get the invite. So it's
I only get sweaty feet at altitude. It's only at altitude. Yeah, I wouldn't have had sweaty feet.
I can't take that chance, dude. It's by the ocean. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen?
True. If I stepped on a hill, my feet would have started sweating.
Yeah, dude.
So that's his excuse. What's mine for not getting an invite?
Your excuse is because I don't have the power of time travel, Joe.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't figure that out, Gordo. Dude, but it's so okay. And back to the feet. I swear to God, like it could be 95 degrees and 50% humidity in Boston, and my feet will not sweat, not at all. But in Colorado, it's like 72. I'm like, oh my God, my feet. What's wrong with my feet? So if you ever see me in Colorado, I probably have sweaty feet.
Sammy, why don't you drop the? We'll drop the address of your hotel in the description, and they can send ice to the hotel for future residents and, you know, help them out with their feet and their feet.
It's the Sheraton in downtown Denver. Please send ice packs and like food, like
shoe fresheners too. Like those little like soccer ball shaped things with the holes in it that make your feet smell good. Send those. Yep.
Send that washcloths to wrap them around before you put them in your shoe.
Send me some snacks too. Like beef jerky is way too expensive. So I never buy it, but I really like it. It's a good snack. So send me some of that. Maybe some of those popcorner chips are really good. Guilt-free.
That's so random. That's so
guilt-free
random.
Snack. Well, it's because like my weakness is snacking on chips, but if they're like popcorners, it's less calories. Air. Yeah, it's not as bad for you. It doesn't hurt my tummy.
Well, on that note, before you go get your popcorners, we appreciate you tuning in to episode 127 of Play Tessie. Before you go get your popcorners and before you go say hey to Larry. Hi, Larry. Remember, hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening, wherever you get your podcasts. Hit the subscribe button all over your podcast platforms. Rate us 5 stars. Helps us out so much. You can also watch us on YouTube on the WEI channel in the Play Tessie playlist. All of our episodes are up there in that playlist. You can find them all. You can hit the thumbs up there. We really appreciate when you guys do that. As always, on the socials, at Play Tessie on both Twitter and Instagram. We will be back in your ears following this Orioles series. For Sammy and for Joe, it's Gordo here for Play Tessie episode 127. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.